Very surprised. Not a lot of resolutions made here. Nothing dynamic. You don't got to share them, but just wave your head at me that says, yeah, I make resolutions every year. Okay, you want to do that? Or is it a no? I don't do that. I haven't made resolutions. This is the beginning of a joke, isn't it, Karen? I haven't made a New Year's resolution since I've gotten married. I'll let you work on that one. They kind of get handed to me. Okay, no, just kidding. Okay, there's more to it than I'm just kidding. My wife's not in the room, so please don't share this later with her. She doesn't need to know this. But I'm going to say this maybe more than once this morning just to go against the resolution makers, and that's this. I think for a follower of Christ, my entire walk with Christ has been nothing but a moonshot. And by that I mean this. There are hundreds of thousands of corrections and mid-course corrections that I have made and continue to make. That's why I'm not in the same place that I was before a month or two or three months ago. As I study the Word and the Holy Spirit teaches me, I'm going like this, but then I go like this. I got to shift a little bit. I've got to mature in this area. I've got to add this. I've got to delete this. I've got to stop this. I've got to... You see what I'm talking about? The walk with Jesus Christ is literally probably hundreds of thousands of mid-course corrections, much like a moonshot, in order to get me to the moon. Same thing. To get me to honor God in every situation, He continues to refine me, which is a correction, which is a chip off, which is an add to. And here I go in that direction that He's called me forward to. And that's what Paul said. So I'm not sure the resolution is so important, but I think what is important is the fact that I am open to the fact that as I study the Word, as I meditate, as I spend time alone with Him, and He says, Mike, the Holy Spirit talks this way to me, okay, just to put up with this. Mike, you dummy. I go, yeah? I know He's talking to me, all right? Move over here. Stop that attitude. Why are you thinking that? Why do you do that? How come you're... And I, yep. And I make corrections. And it all yields to the person that I am today, the person you are today. And 1 year from now, this should not be the same person standing in front of you. This should be a different person in light of the many shifts that I will make over the next coming year. Now, with that said, I do think it's important, and maybe this time of year for you, you've done some evaluation about how the past year went. Your accountant will want to do this with you all the time before tax season. Your doctor will want to do this with you anytime you go in for a physical. But if you thought back over the past year, you would think through the number of things that people tend to evaluate when they get to the end of a year, right? You might actually go back and think about your health. And go, well, I got through that. I had that surgery. I had this. No, it's been a pretty healthy year as me. I've been a pretty healthy year. I wonder when something's not going to work right. You get those kind of things about you. Everybody feels that way. Or maybe you look at yourself financially. We had a pretty good year financially. I look in the bank and there's more money than there was last year. Or we didn't do so good. I look in the bank and I go, man, we're way down and I don't see where more money's going to come from. We're always making adjustments like that. But today you do that evaluation over the previous year and you go, it was a pretty good year financially. Maybe not. I didn't see those expenses coming. They really hit us blindsided. You know what I'm talking about, right? You might have the guts to also do this kind of an evaluation of, I don't have any real friends. Or maybe this one, I've got too many friends. I've got too many people poking their fingers into my life, and I could do with a few less friends. I've never heard anybody say that, by the way. I just throw that one out, okay? How about this? Touchy ground here, thin ice, watch what you say. Nobody look at me and nobody make eye contact. How's that marriage going this past year? I won't look at any of you either. How's that? How's that marriage going? Is that spouse that you've had now for I don't know how many years, and for some of us it might be many, is she really working out? Is he really, I'm going to use all the terms that are offensive, so here we go. Is he really doing it for me? Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. I hear nervous laughter. Is it genuine laughter? Boy, I wonder if I should commit to another year of this relationship. I say that, and that's not humorous. Read an article about 2 weeks ago about evaluating your significant other or your spouse at this time of year. And I didn't realize how many people after the first of the year pitch their marriage or their significant other, hoping to fill that gap with a better choice. Wow, that's very interesting. But you know it goes on. I've got friends who've done that and more. Listen to me carefully, though. As a follower of Christ, though, how would I evaluate what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I know there's a call on my life. I say I believe in Jesus Christ, and I understand that from way beyond, in the depths of the heavens, God, the God of the universe, looks down at me and gives a call to my life, and that call is to follow Jesus. We even use the term now, we stay away from using the term Christian, and the term we use now is this: I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I like that. It actively says what I'm trying to do. But then how do I evaluate my following of Jesus Christ? When I look back over the past year, how do I evaluate if I truly and effectively followed Christ, or did I play the game? Maybe you played the game. It's easy. Watch. Here it is. I got up this morning. In order to be stylish, I wore my church jacket, my go-to-meeting jacket. I coiffed myself, which is, listen, it's coiffed to make this happen. I coiffed myself. I put some of the stuff around my face because my skin's a little dry in places. I want to look my best, and I shined my shoes, and out the door I went. And I came here to a building, church. It's a warehouse, but you get the idea. Church. And I sat here and I sang the songs with the music guys. That was cool. I love singing. And that pastor got up and spoke with his hair on fire. And you know, I listened to him and I actually took some notes. Great. Hold it. Close the Bible up with those notes. And I promptly leave, shaking hands, kissy kissy. Love to see you too. Okay. Out the door and drive home. And go back to the life I lived before, which if you saw the life I live out of here, it would scare you. And you'd look at me and say, how could you do that? How could you talk that way? How could you hang out with those people? How could you take part in that business? Are you serious? That's the way you really are? But every Sunday morning, I take the churchy jacket that I only wear for weddings and funerals. There were more snide comments made about this jacket this morning than any I've ever worn, all right? And I come here, and I show off to you, and I'm clean, and I look good, and I'm one of you. Wow. How do I really evaluate if I'm following Christ? Is it attending a group function in a warehouse? Or is it something else? Oh, I come on Wednesday nights, because every Wednesday night we have a prayer meeting here, which is really exciting and fun. But I've got that, and that shows the true temperature of the church. And I'm one of those people, I don't miss a prayer meeting. And then the small groups in between, I don't miss going to Mike's house. That's like going to church. We love being with each other. That's so cool. Are you clicking the boxes? And is that following Christ? I read a Christian book this year. It actually was on Jesus. Is that following Christ? Or some of you might say, I colored a coloring book with Jesus in it. Is that following Jesus Christ? I was kind to my neighbor. I didn't kick the cat. I didn't beat my kid more than he deserved. Ooh, okay. I'll be the judge of that. You get the idea? I drove the speed limit. Anybody? Okay, good. Just thought I'd check. You know I'm looking at you. What is really following Christ? So I come to a portion of Scripture this morning. And I realize the thing that's on me is to follow Jesus Christ, no matter if I'm in this building or if I'm out there. Hold it. In fact, especially if I'm out there, especially if I'm on the work site, especially if I'm with those neighbors that I can't stand, especially when I'm in here with you folks, and I don't get along well with all of you either, especially when I'm struggling, especially when I'm sick, especially when I'm doing great. I follow Jesus Christ. That's what I'm called to do. And what are we talking about when we say that? So this morning, I wanted to look at a piece of Scripture maybe you've seen before, but I want to use it to help us evaluate how and if we've actually been following Jesus Christ this past year. Because I'm going to say this to you, and this is no kidding around. I believe in the majority of our churches, the majority of our people that believe they're following Christ have almost no clue about what we're going to say this morning. They think they follow Christ, and they got a Bible, and they come to church, and that's it. And the reality is we repeatedly talk in here, and every time we get together, about representing Jesus Christ, not just here, but especially out there, in the place that God has put you. So I'm going to invite you this morning to look at the Scripture with me. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I'm going to read it to you from the screen. You can look in the screen or get your Bible out. If you don't have notes for this morning, we've got them printed. Just put your hand up politely. Phil's over here. He'll see that you get a copy of the notes because you need to see these notes this morning. Let's read the scripture and let's read it together this morning. Let's honor the word by reading it together. Can we do that? Let's do that, okay? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus talking to definitely a mixed group of people. We'll talk about them in just a moment. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning and come before your word, realizing that this word has been recorded for us. Father, these words are as pertinent now as they were when Jesus first said them. Father, you wanted me to see these words. You wanted me to adhere to these words. You wanted me to judge my life by these words of Jesus Christ. So, Father, this morning, we open ourselves to a new and fresh way to you. And, Father, might your Spirit be the one that's talking, not this pastor up front. Teach us your word in the depths of our heart like you've never done before. For that's the kind of relationship we want to have with you. We give you the next minute, bunch of minutes coming up, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, got a pen. Let's look at this together. Realize who Jesus was talking to, obviously. Jesus' audience was Jews, who were, by the way, under a very hard and difficult religious system. Just put that in the back of your mind. Also, as part of this group was Christ's own followers. By the way, at this point in time, they were committed, but it was a little C. It wasn't the big C. You see, toward the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus looks at his apostles after almost 3 years and says to them, "At last you believe." So even at this point in time, some of them are like this. Could go either way. Not really sure. So talking to that group of people, his own apostles, his own followers, people who are struggling with the message, people who are entertained by the circus that he brought to town with the miracles and etc. There are lots of reasons people were listening to them. And he hits them with this scripture from Matthew chapter 11. So you got your notes in front of you. I've got it listed here in three actions that I think are vital for us to understand and evaluate as to our following of Jesus Christ. And the first one is this. From verse 28, Jesus says it himself. He says, "Come to me. Come to me." It's written in this way, in this original language. Come to me and come to me alone. It was the very thing I used when I proposed to my wife. Let me let you in on Mr. Romantic guy here, okay? That does not get a snicker. This is serious business, all right? I looked that woman square in the eyes. I grabbed her by the nape of the neck. And oh, no, I didn't do that there, okay? I grabbed her by those two floppy ears. And I said, now listen, hold it. No, that's not good. I shouldn't have said that, okay? I got her attention. I looked her square in the eyes. And I gave her the Mike Stern look. And she looked at me. And I said, "Listen, dear, I want you to marry me. And I want you to marry me and only me. And I want to be the only one you kiss." I grabbed a hold of her a little closer and said, "Do you get this? Do you get it? You're committing to just me." And she looked at me in all her sweetness and loveliness and she said, "Yes, I'd have it no other way." Hold on. I'm telling the story, okay? That's how I remember it, right? When Jesus says, "Come to me," it's come to me and me alone. There's nobody else worth coming to. There's nobody else you can come to. Come to me. It's an exclusive relationship. It is a willing commitment shown by embracing my teaching and my person. You got your pen out? I want you to write this down if you would. This is truly the story of grabbing and letting go. Now, listen to me. That's not going to make any sense. Write it down, though, okay? Grabbing and letting go. Mike, what in the world are you doing? Just listen. Take it down, all right? Grabbing and letting go. All right. Now you get the idea. It's down in front of you. You won't forget it. Listen carefully to me. This is what's going on here. This is what my wife did. This is what I did with her, okay? Grabbing and letting go. Well, how does that work, Mike? Here's how it works. I let go of my previous relationships with women to marry my wife. This is kind of crude, but you get the idea. And I grabbed her and her only. Now, that's in that relationship, you understand that. But let's do it in life, okay, and in regards to Jesus Christ. I need to let go of anything else that even gives me a quasi or in a quasi area that Jesus meets a need in. For instance, the things I'm holding. Well, why don't you help me with this, right? We can do this, all right? If I'm out there and I'm not a follower of Christ and I want security and I'm going to grab onto something that gives me security, what might that be? A job, okay? I'm kicking tail. I'm working my way up the corporate ladder. I am stepping on top of people, and that is my security because I am moving up the rungs of my company. Excellent. Give me another one. What is it?
Investments.
Oh, yeah. These are ripe years for that. I need to invest so I can make lots of money. Why? So I can make lots more money. Why? Because I'm working on retirement. I'm working toward whatever. And I've got a lot of, hey, I come in this morning, a smile on my face because my investments went up 150% this week. Tremendous. I've got security. Do you really? Okay. What else would I hold on to for security? What would give me security? Those are the only two you came up with? My family, my what? My house. I keep moving every year, moving up houses. Hold it. How about my relationships? I'm in touch with some of the coolest people in the area. I'm in touch with big politicians. I'm become friends with so-and-so from business. I'm in with the corporate giants of America. I am a somebody. And all of these things I hold on to for security, for peace. I like to kick back with half a bottle of bourbon and maybe something I could smoke. It relaxes me and gives me peace. I like to do it near the water. And, oh, wow, it gives me peace. I've had somebody say it to me this year, and I just stared at them blindly like, really? Okay, good. Don't go near the water. You might not come out. But peace, security, the things that rub me the right way, pleasure. Oh. Don't want to touch that because we're in church and nobody thinks or talks this way. But you realize that not us. Okay. But you understand there's a whole group of people out there, lots of them, that are nothing but about pleasure. Do you understand that? And by that I mean this. Conquest after sexual conquest after sexual conquest after... Have you seen people do that? Sure, we all have. And some of us maybe were in that routine. Everybody get it? Don't act like you're in church. Wave your heads. Okay, you understand that, don't you? We hold on to all these things for peace and security and pleasure, and the list goes on and on and on, and I hold on really tightly. But what I need to do is I need to let go of that and then grab tightly onto Jesus Christ, who, by the way, promises me those things. Peace and security and a lot more than I ever thought of before, and pleasure and purpose and etc. I need to let go of the things I formerly held on to for that and now run to Him and grab onto Him for those same needs that I have, except now they're met in Jesus Christ. And now I learned that His presence is the thing that gives me peace. His presence is the thing that gives me purpose and His will in my life. You getting the idea? I actually can say this. I am seeking now to glorify God. I never even talked like that before. That's big stuff. But it requires that I let go completely of that other stuff and grab onto completely Jesus Christ and nothing else. That's tough because there's still a few things in my life I kind of hold on to. I'm talking that serious. I'm not kidding around with that. I still really do hold on to a couple other things for my security and for my pleasure and for my peace. I do. And it causes struggles in my life. And Paul called that the struggle that we have with the flesh, which he still struggled with. And the reality was, here was a guy, Paul, who let go of all those things we were talking about and grabbed the hold of Jesus Christ, and then still toward the end of his life said he was doing the things he shouldn't do and thinking of things he shouldn't think, and what a wretch was he. I love, by the way, that Romans 7 is in the Bible because if he had said he was perfect, I'd look at my life and go, gee, I'm nowhere close. But I love the fact that one of the giants of the faith could almost like have a meltdown over this. That's encouraging to me because I'm still on the road to growing with Jesus Christ. So you got it? Letting go and grabbing hold. And that's what this is. That's what this come to me is. Letting go of everything. But notice the who. Are you looking at the scripture? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Those who are weary, those who are burdened, those who are under it. Listen, it may be this time in your year that you don't get the jolly, jolly, watch the ball drop, watch the peach drop, watch the acorn drop. I can go across the country and do this all day if you want to hear this stuff, all right? Every place remarking about the new year. And maybe for you it's not a happy, happy... Maybe it's not that way for you. Maybe it's... When these holidays hit, it makes you more pensive, thoughtful, remorseful. Maybe actually causes some depression because you think through and go, I'm weary. My health, my finances, my family, my friendships, my marriage. Maybe from all the stuff around you, my career which didn't work out. Maybe from all the things around you, you're weary. You're tired, you feel burdened, you feel under it. You know what I'm talking about when you get that way. And Jesus says, come to me, those who are weary and burdened and heavy laden and under it and too tired to even get up, don't feel like you're ever going to get up from under. You people who are, here's another word that I've used over the years. I would come home and I'd sit in the chair in my house and my wife would say, you okay? I said, I'm fine. I'm just inside tired. Do you know what that is? If you've experienced inside tired, you know what I'm talking about. Where you don't feel like you've got another thing to give, and you say, I'm just inside tired. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. And quite frankly, I'm hurt. Jesus says, come to me if that's you. Oh, there it is. Come to me if that's you. Follow me. Come to me. He looked at their heart and he felt their need. And then you know what? As part of this discussion, which I'm not going to touch on much, he answers the biggest question out there and the biggest question that anybody could ever have. And that biggest question is, I look at my birth certificate and I've noticed that the dates on it, as far as born date, don't move. When they wrote that born date year, it stayed that same way. I look at my birth certificate every year, and those numbers haven't moved. But there's another number that does move, and it's my age. And the thing on my driver's license, on other forms, those numbers seem to move. And every time I talk to somebody important, like my doctor, and they want to remember my age, they look at my chart and tell me how old I am. I know how old I am. Thanks for looking it up. I got it, okay? But the truth of the matter is, the biggest question out there, whether you know Jesus Christ or not, is what's it going to be like after this life? What about my eternity? What happens after I die? And the fact is, Jesus answers that big question, and so much so gives you a purpose in your life between now and the time you go to be with Him forever. This come to me is a fantastic point that you and I need to think about going into the new year. Have you come to Him? I don't mean bowed your head and prayed the prayer. That can be part of it. Are you in the process of coming to Him? Are you continually about the business of coming to Him? Think that out in a new and fresh way, and it really changes your walk with Christ. The second action point I want you to see, Matty, you want to start making your way up here for me? I'm going to ask Matt a pivotal question this morning. The second action point in verse 29, look at it with me, is this. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The second action point is this. Take my yoke upon you. A system I don't even understand. A system which talks about a harness system for one or two oxen for the purpose of pulling farm equipment. That's what this illustration is. Take my yoke upon you. And he's saying it to people, not to animals. He's saying it to people who were either followers of him or potential followers of him. Take my yoke upon you. The illustration I kind of get, harnessing two animals together to pull in a straight line, I kind of get that. But there's so much more here. And so I asked Matt, I asked him to do difficult stuff. And I asked him to give a slant and a coloring on some things that we might not normally get from my mind or voice. And I thought this was perfect for a few minutes for Matt to explain and even apply and challenge us as far as what does it mean to take upon the yoke of Jesus Christ. Matt?
Well, I presume that all of us knew what a yoke was, and after Pastor Mike's explanation, you should. So the idea, especially if I've got some ladies in the back, work with horses, and certain animals, it's just putting something around their neck, often to affix them to one another, sometimes just to get them to carry some weight for you. You just want to carry something around their neck, and that's a tough place. Right around the neck, just a nice bar to carry some weight or to affix yourself to another animal. So what's going on here when the Messiah uses it? Well, this phrase is actually really common in the first century. It's a rabbinical phrase that he's playing off of, that he's comparing it to. And that phrase is, take upon yourself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and then take upon yourself the yoke of the law. The first one I get, I posit myself as being a member of this kingdom of priests, of Israel, of being of this family of God. All right, I can handle that. But as such, put upon yourself the yoke of the law. I don't know about you, but have you ever read Deuteronomy? That's a tough thing. That's a tough yoke to wear. That's a little bit too heavy for me. That's more heavy, I think, for anyone to truly hold that weight up. No one could perfectly follow the law. And it seems to me that the Messiah is juxtaposing that. You're all tired. You're all heavy laden in Israel because you're trying to wear that yoke. Put on mine, but don't worry. My burden is light. It's easy. You can find rest. Wait, find rest having a yoke? I dare say what he may be implying when we understand that the animals are affixed. We are affixed to him. We are affixing ourselves to the Messiah. And he can take the weight. He can take the weight off you. You're affixed to him. Now, does this mean, okay, great. I trust in Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm wearing his yoke, so to speak. So I'm good. I don't need to do anything good. I don't need to do any good works. I don't need to live a righteous life. Well, no. What he means is, well, you're saved by just trusting in me, and I can take your burden. Now you are affixed to me, though. You should live according to the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, it's a collection of things in the New Testament Jesus says you should do and the apostles say you should do. But think of it this way. Doing what he wants you to. Just living in such a way that he would have you do. Spreading the gospel. Being Jesus to people you don't know. And in that way, instead of going, I've got to get up today and I've got to work hard to fulfill the law. I've got to be a good person. I've got to do all these things so that I can be made acceptable to God. And then you go through all that and you still go, I didn't do it. I messed up here, here, and here. I'm not acceptable to an all-holy God. But when you come at it from the perspective of, I'm already acceptable to an all-holy God because the one I'm affixed to, Jesus, has taken my burden. I'm from that position. Now I'm grateful and I love him and I want to serve him because of our relationship. And as we're attached to one another, I can have some of his power to do the right thing instead of trying to grind it out myself. So ultimately, what Jesus is saying is, don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to find righteousness on your own. Just get yourself attached to me, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to take all the weight off, and you can do things, and you can be a godly person and serve me because I'm empowering you to do so.
Thank you, Maddie. Powerful. You getting it? Here, take some notes, okay? This yoke of Christ has two sides to it. The first one is this. It's my willingness to take Christ's path for me, whatever it may be. I'm willing to take Christ, Jesus' path for me, whatever it might be, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, no matter what the demands, the afflictions, the sacrifice, etc., and all the blessings that come with it, I am willing first to take his path. And secondly, and you need to know this, it involves an aspect that Matt just brought up. It involves the aspect of sonship or heirship. Study the book of Hebrews. A yoke and Christ even says that it is light. This yoke, which is pictured on the animal as being so heavy and they're kind of downtrodden and away they go, it's not like that. Come and take upon my yoke and you will find rest for your souls and you will find that I am gentle and lowly in heart. It's not a heavy burden. I come alongside you. A yoke that bears with Christ at the same time is a yoke that's about His business and getting His benefits and being a child of His. And listen to me, Book of Hebrews, being co-heirs with Him for all eternity. Whatever that ever means, and I think Matt and I could go on for hours about that and still not completely explore what it means to be a co-heir with Jesus Christ. I maintain that our churches this morning, the people that are sitting in churches across the country who might be listening to Scripture, who might say they follow Jesus Christ, do not understand what it means to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ and go to that place. But listen, if you're evaluating your walk, have you come to Him? Okay, you understand that. Do you continue to come to Him? And hold on. Have you taken His yoke upon you so that He might be yoked up with you for His purposes in your life? Good question. Third area this morning I want you to see, and that's this. The third action in verse 29 takes place at the same time, and it's this. Learn from Me. This takes place as the second action that take My yoke is taking place. I'm learning from Him. Literally means this. Experience Me. Copy Me totally. Take Me in intellectually. Think about Me. And then take that message down to your heart and take it into action. Experience Me. Experience Me in your mind. And then experiencing Me in your doing. This is the complete, for you computer folks, this is the reformatting of a hard drive with a completely different operating system. It is completely different in every single way. The things of Jesus Christ tend to be that way. This is the real business of being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the business that causes you to make all the mid-course corrections through your life, because if you let Him teach you, it involves you doing this. And sometimes, big ones. You get the idea, don't you? He teaches us best because He's the one that's been through what He's talking about. He teaches me by example. I learn Jesus. That's what I'm learning. And in learning Jesus, I learn to be like Him. And there's a good rationale for this in these verses. If you're taking notes, you'll notice verses 29 to 30. Jesus says this, that if you do these things, you'll find rest. Not that He'll show you rest, not that He'll tell you about rest, but He will give you rest. And for a lot of us in this room right now, rest sounds really good, doesn't it? To truly get to rest, to get that break, to get that respite away from the things that are just draining me of energy, He promises me that He will give me rest. Got your pen in your hand? In Jeremiah 31:25 says this, that Yahweh will refresh His people through the new covenant, the new agreement, through the time with Jesus Christ. This rest is having a quiet conscience. It's having a peace of mind that's deep and fulfilling. It's refreshment for body and soul, the whole person. Isaiah 26 says this, He'll keep you in perfect peace. I want that because so much of my life seems like it's up in the air. It's Isaiah 26:3 if you need to know that. You know what it is? It's the picture of the child who is asleep in his parents' arms even after a long day the parents had, and the child sleeps. Or, you know what's even a better picture than that? Against my wife's wishes, we were going to the second largest fireworks show in the country, where some of you know where I'm talking about and have been to. And I insisted on going down with the youth group and a bunch of people from our church down to watch this fireworks show. Had to go many hours early just to even get in the city because they closed the city up. And we'd go down there. And the only problem with that is this, that we had a little boy. And that little boy was just over a year old. And so we took him. And she was like, that's not a good idea. You guys tend to get real close to all the fireworks. I said, don't worry, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And he played around with the youth, and he's wonderful all day until 10 minutes before the fireworks show started. Now, you have to understand, for about 40 minutes, they blow up the world from the river. And it's absolutely fantastic. Nonstop. It is deafening. You can't hear a thing. And lo and behold, that fireworks show started. And you know where my boy was? In my arms. And you know what he was doing? Out cold. Asleep and out cold. Fireworks show started, and I thought, I better close his ears. I better do something. I don't know what to do here. I can't let him hear all this stuff. And lo and behold, a couple minutes in, my wife would look over, and he was out cold. And for the next 40 minutes, he was out cold and slept through the entire thing. When the show was over, we got back in the van to go back home. And that's when he woke up and became his fun, lovable little self and never saw a bit of the show. The picture that we're talking about here of rest is that. Is that that son of mine could lay in my arms and be out cold while literally every piece of dynamite in the world was going off in front of us. He slept soundly. He was unconscious. He was dreaming. He was doing everything, but he was not awake. And there's the picture of rest that Jesus talks about. Rest comes because the big questions are settled. Rest comes because the chase is over. Now I can deeply relax in him and it feels good. And for that reason, Jesus says that his burden is light because his burden, his yoke actually unburdens me. Instead of causing me grief and pain, it actually brings quite the opposite. And while everything in the world is going off like a big fireworks show with all the noise and the color and the spectacular and all the things that distract me, I rest in him and nothing can disturb that rest. In fact, his yoke is good. It's comfortable. It's pleasant. It feels right. And listen to me very closely. You may be somebody like me. I want to use this phrase this morning. You may be somebody like me that doesn't have a home. This is not play acting. This is true. I can't think of a place that I'd want to return to that feels like home to me. And some of you folks go home to wherever that is, and it feels like home to you. This is where I grew up. This is the house I grew up in. This is home. And you have that feeling that comes over you, and I think that's great for you. But for whatever reason, if you're like me, and a lot of you are like me, I've never had that feeling about a home life. I've never had that feeling about relatives. The greatest day of my life was getting away from a lot of those people for a lot of different reasons. And that's both funny and sad, but it's true. But I don't have a home that I want to go back to and retreat except for where my wife is. That one I grabbed by the nape of the neck. Okay, you got that, all right? I don't have that home, but listen to me carefully. This having Jesus and being yoked with him, here's the words, feels like home. It feels like the place I've always wanted to be. It's not Auntie M coming out of the kitchen with the apple pies and the ice cream for me. It's not that. It's better than that. It feels like home. It feels like the right place to be because it is the place that he wants me to be forever in relationship with me. Simple as that, through Jesus Christ. Listen, it's the end of the year. Think through these on your own. Look at this scripture on your own. You've seen the scripture in cards and letters and everywhere else. Look at it on your own and see for yourself, where have I been the one that has truly come to Jesus Christ and continues to come to Jesus Christ? Am I in the one who's really taken his learning upon me? Have I learned the person of Jesus? Am I seeking to replicate in my life Jesus? And am I the one that is taking his yoke upon me? We're yoked up together, going through this life for the purpose he's got for me. Think about those things as the new year, and that'll help set some good directions. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, as we come before you this morning, I realize that there are many folks here this morning who just have maybe never even thought about their commitment to Christ in this exact way. And what coming to you actually means. And what it really means to learn from you. What it really means to be yoked up with you. Father, we want that. We want that as individuals and we want that as a church. And Father, I pray now that even as I stop talking, that your Holy Spirit would keep teaching. And where need be, convict us. So that, Father, we might go from here and truly be in that kind of relationship with you. To your glory, for your purpose, for the amounting days I've got left in this life. Father, that's how we at Candlewood want to live. Father, I pray your blessing upon these people. Father, continue to use us and spend us as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.